L-E-T-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Blake Topmeyer from the USA Today Network with us a little bit later this hour at 7:30. We'll get into all things college football with him. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. We will get into the Titans and all things NFL with Charles coming up at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, a sign of the time. One of the things I enjoy looking at every week is the TV broadcast map that are out there. And I will admit freely, most of the time I'm looking at it because I'm like, all right, is the Packers game going to be visible to me in the Middle Tennessee area? And trying to determine whether or not that's the case. This week, though, some intrigue that I did not expect to happen. And Kuharski tweeted this out there yesterday. It made the rounds all over the place yesterday. The Titans and the Texans coming up from Nissan Stadium on Sunday. And if you look at the TV map as to who is going to be able to watch the Titans and the Texans, you will find that in the Tennessee area, it's basically Middle Tennessee, and that's it. West Tennessee, nope, you can't watch. East Tennessee, nope, you're not watching the Titans and the Texans. It is the Middle Tennessee corridor, and that is it as to who's watching and who's going to have access on regular TV to the Titans and the Texans. So this went all over the place yesterday. You know, obviously there are Titans fans in Knoxville and Chattanooga and Memphis and Jackson and all these different places all over the place. I think we would all agree the majority of Titans fans reside here in the Middle Tennessee area. But I don't know that I can remember, and maybe it's just because we haven't talked about this a whole lot. I don't know that I remember a TV map looking quite like this, where it's like, yeah, the smallest window possible in Tennessee can get the Titans game, and then everybody else we're going to be showing Packers, Giants, or pick your game. Something else is going to be in there at that point. What do you make of that? And what kind of a sign of the times is that for the Titans, that literally the broadcast footprint is Middle Tennessee, and if you're west or east, good luck, buddy. You're not watching the Titans.
Well, I don't know the exact, history of this. I'd love, frankly, for someone to do the work on that. Please do and get back to us. But, this This conversation yesterday with Russell Smith on the drive at Fox Sports Knoxville must have been really impactful. I keep bringing it up, giving them a lot of pup. But that's how I found out about it. I didn't see Kaharski's tweet with the map until later because I was like, I wonder if Kaharski's on this. And I saw, I was like, oh, actually, he was on this hours ago. But those guys told me, they're like, this is the first time in my life that this has ever happened. Like, all of them are Titans fans yep. who were on the show, and they're like, this has never happened as far as I've ever been watching. So wow. I'd like to know, I'd like confirmation of that. But, I mean, I believe him. Like, I know Russell's a big Titans fan. He goes to Titans games, stuff like that. His family goes to games. So, I mean, it appears that this is, like, a first time. You go back to, like, conversations, you know, like with Floyd and any of those guys who were there at the time of what this franchise did in terms of trying to get people to pay attention to them and all the work. Like, this would, you know, this has got to be really galling, not just for the Titans now, but for the people who, you know, were part of that, because it's been a long effort to make it like an obvious thing that they're going to be on in the whole state.
Yeah.
And I know some people have responded to this, like in Memphis, like, well, no one cares. Like, it's a cow. I don't think it's – I think there's Titans fans there too. I mean, I guess I could see that more easily than Knoxville.
Yeah.
But Knoxville is like – that's a little bit of a shocker. I'm assuming it's as simple as the numbers are so bad that they just said, well, if this few people are going to watch, then I guess we'll put this other game on, right?
I'm assuming that – I mean, I don't know what else it would be. Like, I'm assuming that's the case. I mean, it is amazing. I mean, I know they play here, and they're in Nashville. They are the Tennessee Titans, you know? Tennessee.
Very intentionally.
The entire state.
Very intentionally. Yes. Absolutely.
So the fact that you can't see them throughout the entire state of yeah. Tennessee – is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. You know, and so I just think it's another sign of apathy. I mean, it's that, and again, apathy is the worst thing. It's the number one thing that you want to avoid as a professional sports franchise, because you can just flat out lose fans.
Yeah. Well, and look, the Titans don't have the biggest fan base anyway, right? Like, I mean, comparatively speaking, there are, especially here in Nashville, they're still relatively young, right? I mean, we're coming up on 30 years, so I get that. But, I mean, look around. I mean, the Packers, the Chiefs, you know, the Bears. I mean, there's all these historic franchises that have been in one spot for a long time at this point that have bigger fan bases. Now, you know, the simple answer to this is just win. Like, if you start winning games again, then you'll be back on TV in Knoxville, and you'll be back on TV in Memphis, and you'll get better. Like, if Cam Moore turns out to be a great player, I've talked about this. I mean, Kansas City is not some bustling market, right? Like, it's not like Kansas City is some huge market, but Patrick Mahomes is going to end up being one of the greatest players to ever play the game, and they win all the time. So that's why they're on TV all the time. So if your quarterback turns into one of the best players in the league, there'll be plenty of people that have interest in watching the Tennessee Titans. But it shows you right now that there's a lot of losing that's gone on. I think here locally, we've experienced it a little bit of – it's just a hard watch, man. Like, it's hard to devote 3 hours of your Sunday right now to watching this team play football. We're in middle of November, and the season's been over with for weeks at this point in terms of any expectation of doing anything. And now most Titans fans we hear from are like, all right, let's just suffer through the rest of the season and get to the point where we can start to talk about the draft and the offseason. And that is being reflected right now, I think, in what we're seeing here.
Yeah. So they had a losing record, lost their last seven in 2022, blew the division. They were bad in 23. They were bad in 24. We are halfway through 25. So it's been a while, but like, through all that, I haven't heard this, right? I mean, this is
no.
So, I mean, this is another step to me, and it's going to be really interesting to see. You know, does it like, is that just how it's going to be now? Like in Knoxville, the rest of the year, like you're just going to get whatever game. The Titans are no longer a. Someone on the text line saying that Memphis, I guess, has been hit and miss this year already. Before this, I could buy that, but again, Knoxville, I think this is unprecedented.
Yeah, I mean, it's. You know, they're usually on CBS, right? I mean, typically it's a lot of AFC games on CBS, NFC on Fox. It's not exclusively that way anymore. They've been on Fox a couple of times this year. So, I don't know, maybe it's just some weird thing with the Fox window right now for Sunday. I'm not smart enough to know how all those TV executives
work. Yeah, the different networks can definitely view it differently.
Yeah, I don't know what that looks like. But to your point, I don't ever remember it being the case where you could watch the game in the Nashville area and that's it, basically. Like, if you're not in Middle Tennessee or Southeastern Texas, you ain't watching this game. It's kind of amazing.
Well, and even in the Middle Tennessee, there's a couple little blips in there south. They're close to the Alabama border that aren't getting it. It's like, why are those little areas not getting, like, what? No, I mean, it's...
they're getting Packers-Giants in, like, you know, Lawrenceburg.
Well, and that, right, yeah. And that's another thing. All due respect to your Packers. You know, I said this yesterday. It's like, okay, if it's like... You know, the Chiefs and Bills are playing at the same time, and so, like, they're unless you have a real, like, this is a game you know people are going to watch or something. If there's an amazing game that's taken, but it's Packers-Giants, huh?
Maybe they want to watch their next head coach. I don't know.
Todd Downing, BOC, even though he's not the OC in this game. No, I mean, it's just, yeah, there you go, the next head coach.
Do a scouting report on LaFleur.
Mike Herndon, by the way, is like, please do fire him. We'll take him right now.
I said it the other day. Like, if he shook free, he'd probably be a good hire for the Titans. Like, he's a good coach.
Yeah. You want more.
Expectations a little bit different.
You want more?
A little bit different.
I get it. You're a demand excellencer. Now, this texter says, I wish the Titans would take the Tennessee off their name and just be the Titans. They do a horrible job representing my state. Just the Titans.
We're not Nashville. It's like the Utah Hockey
Unnamed
Club.
Location Titans. What about the Nashville Titans? Should they be the Nashville Titans?
They should not. Tennessee is what they should be.
I mean, that's what they've been. You gotta keep it. You gotta keep some continuity.
Well, look, and
even if Knoxville's not showing your games.
I understand Nashville is your hub. Nashville's your it city, to use that stupid phrase, in the state and all those things. But, like, it does make a lot of sense to embrace the entire state, right? And to have as many fans as you can have.
They're
as bad as they are right now. I mean, and they're losing a lot of casual fans. There's no doubt about that.
100%. And on the name, by the way, the Patriots used to be the Boston Patriots.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, let's go ahead and
cover the bigger area.
Vermont, come on over. Connecticut, you're welcome too.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dwayne to the program. Dwayne, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
Not much, man.
Well, I was kind of comparing football to baseball because I used to live in New England. I used to live in Eastern Connecticut. And it's all being regional sports. You would only get blacked out in certain areas. In Western Connecticut, you can get the Red Sox. In Rhode Island, you can get the Red Sox. But in Eastern Connecticut, from Hartford to the Rhode Island line, you got nothing. So if you're a baseball fan, and I'm a junkie for baseball, or most sports, you'd got nothing. So I didn't know how the comparison to baseball and football blackout areas kind of the same or polarizing, they leave different.
Yep. Thank you for calling, Dwayne. We appreciate it. We'll get into that coming up next. A lot of your thoughts on the decision to not broadcast the Titans game in Knoxville and Memphis. Take your thoughts. More of your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. MTSU Blue Raiders taking on Western Kentucky this Saturday at 2:30. Rivalry. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com.
So we got Titans FC. Yeah. That's a good one. I threw in the America Titans. Someone threw in the, what did he say, undisclosed location Titans?
Yeah.
JD from Brentwood, can you organize a caravan for us in Middle Tennessee to go to Knoxville Sunday so we can't watch?
Let's all vacate. Get out of here.
Party bus. Get away from the Titans. Anywhere but where you can see the Titans on TV.
Yeah. Which, don't have to drive that far anymore.
Yeah.
An hour and a half down the road, you're good.
This is a low-T alert.
At some point, will it be like in Nashville, like, you know, like you have to, as a bar, you have to just sign up if you're willing to show, like, the Titans.
You can watch the Titans on Eastland Avenue in East Nashville, and that's about it. It's like, wow, how about that?
It's just a detriment to the bars.
We got a GameStop where you can see the Titans.
No, just quit taking up the TVs. No one's here to watch the Titans. We're switching the game.
Yeah. You can watch the Titans in downtown Nashville, Franklin, and Gulletsville. Those are your locations that you can watch the Titans.
Good Lord.
Brent says, pretty soon they'll broadcast Titans game as TVMA, parental discretion advice. You really need to make sure the children are out of the room if you're going to watch the Titans play today.
Man.
Good grief.
Who knew that this could be so much fun?
I mean, this is going about how I thought it would on the text line of like, yeah, don't blame them. Don't blame them.
Jeff from Nebraska says, if you're mad about not seeing the Titans while living in Tennessee, just think of the $400 I paid to watch them while sitting in Nebraska. Now that's depression.
That's a tough one.
That's a fan right there.
That's a fan. And you know what? When the day comes that they're good again, whenever that happens, Jeff, you deserve it. No, all of you deserve it.
That's the thing. You know, I mean, right now is it's sort of like the stock market, right? You want to buy low. I mean, we're talking low.
Yeah, we're talking real.
You know, the people who are hanging in, who are still there at, you know, at the stadium, who are watching, who are paying extra to watch them elsewhere. Like, it's like we should keep track of who these people are. You know, and then they should, the Titans should like reward them with like front row seats at the new stadium. You know.
Oh, I agree. I thought you were going to say like today's or Sunday's game. I was like, well, you could probably do that anyway. Just walk down.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, yeah. Again, at this point, you're close to paying people. Yeah.
Hey, guys. Come on down. There's plenty of room available down here. Come on down. Oh, man. David says, looks like we'll get to experience the game like Trey. I'm kind of excited to hear how Ward's techniques are lacking. Turning lemons into lemonade. I'm here for it. It's like, wow, we can't see it, so let's just listen to it.
He sounds awful today.
Yeah, I mean, look. How popular are the Titans in Knoxville? There are Titans fans in Knoxville. I think we all know that Knoxville is largely about the University of Tennessee, and that's what they do.
Sure.
How popular are the Titans in Memphis? I mean, they did play there for a year, and then they didn't get the team, which is still a very sore spot.
That went well.
Out there. Yeah, went well. So, like, I understand Memphis and Knoxville they're not just hotbeds for the Tennessee Titans. But again, they are part of your state. And when things are going well, like I would imagine there's, you know, decent interest in Memphis and Knoxville as to what's going on with the NFL team in your state.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, Memphis, you know, even Memphis, it's funny because I'm trying to remember, at one point I did a story on Ja Morant, like early in his time with the Grizzlies. And I remember I wrote a little thing about the whole Memphis-Nashville thing. And someone told me, you know, at all the bars on Sundays, like, the Titans are on. Now, again, that was when they were good.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was like, yeah, Titans are on all the bars in Memphis. Like, people, there are Titans fans in Memphis. Again,
and they had that season there. They had one season in Memphis.
Yeah, which was...
Might have helped.
A bleep show, or might have hurt. Some people would say it hurt. But yeah, 1997 season there, then 98 at Vandy. But there are some fans there. Knoxville, I don't think there's any question, like, I mean, again, it's if these people are saying this is the first time in their life that they haven't been able to watch the Titans, I mean, I think this is a notable development. Whether it's a huge fan base there or not, it's enough that it's been a no-brainer that they've been on TV.
Well, they need every fan they can get, right? Yeah. Like, if you're the Titans, you need every fan you can get. So whether that's in Nashville, Knoxville, Memphis, Lawrenceburg, shout out to Lawrenceburg. I don't care where it is. But they need every fan they can get. And what it shows you is they're just – and I don't blame people. I mean, they're 1-8. They've been terrible for a long time. And it goes back to something you've been harping on for a few years. Like, it's one thing to be bad. It's another thing to be bad and borderline unwatchable, which is what they are. Like, I got a tough time watching them. It's my job. Like, I got to watch them.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, you thought this year would be at least – okay, well, there's another quarterback. I know last year there was too. Oh, the young quarterback. But this year it's a totally brand new, unknown rookie quarterback. So that's got to help, right? Well,
nope.
Here we are.
Andrew says, I'd pay YouTube the $20 back if they could play a different game than the Titans. Take my $20 credit back, YouTube TV. I will gladly hand it over.
Put this in the pile, and hopefully you and ESPN can figure this out. Just please do not put them on the television.
That would be a bummer to live in the state of your team and have to have Red Zone to watch, or the YouTube, whatever, Sunday Ticket to watch your team.
Watch your team play.
In the state that they're in.
I mean, I'm obviously over there a lot, and like driving home on Sunday a lot and stuff, and listen to radio. I mean, they talk Titans there, like, you know, they talk NFL, they talk Vols, obviously. Vols are dominant, but like, yeah, like Matthew Nestor says, I know a ton of Titans fans in Knoxville. I mean, I don't think it's an insignificant.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's not, they're not the number one dog there like they are
sure.
here.
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess I would ask even here, if the Vols are really good, wouldn't they still be the number one dog? You know? No?
I don't know. I guess it depends on
how you look at it.
Yeah. Brandon says, Knoxville had cup final watch parties at Market Square for the Preds. I promise they're a Titans fan.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I remember that Preds run.
I went on Knoxville radio like 15 times during the cup final run up there.
Yeah. Yeah, they were into it. Yeah, I mean, it's a much easier, again, the Memphis thing, there's the rivalry or whatever. I mean, that's a little different. The state it's a different kind of state because you, from the west point to the east point,
it's
is
a
like,
long way.
Is a 7.5 hour drive or whatever. But still, like the east side has been like a no brainer. So you wonder what this means moving forward. Maybe, like you said, maybe this won't be the case on the other network, yeah. You know, I guess. Maybe there'll be an outcry. Maybe there'll be applause. I don't know.
Good job, Fox. Let it go.
Again, it's like they're picking Packers Giants. Wild.
Oh, boy. I mean, Jameis is playing. You got to keep that in mind.
That is true. Jameis is awesome. Jameis just sang Hamilton.
He did.
At his presser.
615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Blake Topmeyer from the USA Today Network will join us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Talking a little college football, and to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Blake Topmeyer to the program, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Network. Blake, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, as you know, Blake, Vanderbilt 8-2. They are two wins away from a 10-2 record, and we think punching their ticket to the college football playoff. But what do you make of kind of where things stand right now with the rankings, with Vanderbilt being at 14? We had the discussion and a piece that you brought up the other day coming about Notre Dame being at number 9 and their resume to this point. What do you make of kind of the difference in ranking between those two teams specifically based on the resume from both teams?
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think Vanderbilt's suffering from A, brand bias, and B, recency bias. That's where Notre Dame has the advantage on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has the misfortune of two of its worst games are two of its last games. You know, they lost to Texas, didn't play well for the first three quarters of that game until Diego Pavia obviously rallied them in the fourth quarter and made it a close game at the end. And then they needed overtime to beat a woebegone Auburn team. So those are their two last submissions to the committee. So you have that recency bias working against them, whereas a team like Notre Dame has a 7-game win streak and its two losses happened back during swimming pool season. So that's one factor, but I do think too, I think, at least on a subconscious level, I have to think brand bias is working against Vanderbilt because, you look at their metrics, their strength of schedule, their strength of record metrics, and they're pretty good. But I still think it is tough for people to forget everything they've seen their entire lives. And for a lifetime now, Vanderbilt has been a doormat. It's not anymore, but we see this on college game day every week, right? Like, I mean, Nick Saban's been a 2-year skeptic of Vanderbilt. He cannot believe what his eyes are seeing that Vanderbilt is good now. And you just have to wonder how much of that is going on in the committee room as well, because, you know, even beyond Notre Dame, I mean, Utah is ranked one spot ahead of Vanderbilt, and there's nothing on Utah's resume that says it should be ranked ahead of Vanderbilt, except, you know, recency bias. Two of Utah's best games are its two last games. So I think that's at play. I don't know that Vanderbilt would be a lock at 10-2. I do think because of some of the games teams ranked ahead of them have to play, it would be right there on the doorstep if it could get to 10-2, which, I mean, that's the key, right? I mean, you know, don't lose to Kentucky, have to beat Tennessee in Neyland Stadium, which is going to be a tall order. And then you take your chances with the committee.
Yeah, and I still think, I mean, if they, and I understand, well, Tennessee's ranked. You, if you're Vanderbilt, you want Tennessee to beat Florida. I still think winning at Tennessee would be an awfully impressive thing, and I think enough stuff would happen to help them. Maybe not, but, you know, if you go with probabilities of all the other stuff out there, you know, I think they'd probably be in. But sticking with Vanderbilt, Blake, you know, Pavia, I kind of dismissed him from the Heisman talk, especially after the Texas loss, even though he played so well. But he was so incredible last week. Then you combine those two games and what he did in those games, and you know, you look around and it's so different from last year, right? When we had two people who were so fantastic candidates, it was a great debate. Do you feel like if Vanderbilt does win those two games, he's obviously has to be incredible, maybe game-winning drive at Knoxville or whatever, that he could still have a chance to sneak in there, just because, I mean, maybe Mendoza is a favorite for a lot of people, but I still don't think it's like a strong, like obvious situation right now.
I think Pavia can get to New York to win the award. Boy, he would have to be at his absolute best in Knoxville. And I think, you know, Vanderbilt goes, as we know, as Pavia goes. So if they're going to get to 10-2, then I have to assume that Pavia played well in his next two games. Because if he doesn't, they're not going to get to 10-2. But if they do, and if they get in the playoff, man, he would have a compelling resume beyond just the stats. I mean, the story of him getting Vanderbilt to 10-2, I think he's going to end up on a lot of ballots to pass Fernando Mendoza and Julian Sayin and some of the other contenders for the award. I don't know that he can get all the way there and win the prize, but I do think if they're 10-2, he's probably in New York City. And there's a couple other things at play here too. I think when the award doesn't have a runaway winner, I really think it is won in the last few weeks of the season. And I think it will hurt Pavia a little bit that he's not going to be playing in the conference championship game, and two contenders for the award, Fernando Mendoza at Indiana and Julian Sayin of Ohio State, they are going to be playing in the conference championship game head to head. So they'll have a last opportunity to sort of impress voters. And also another contender, Ty Simpson from Alabama, he's probably going to be playing in the SEC championship game. So you're going to have, you know, three guys that you're up against have that final submission to voters, whereas Pavia, even if they're at 10-2, he's probably going to be at home on conference championship weekend with no last submission to the voters. So I think that works against him a little bit. But, man, the narrative of them being 10-2, because let's face it, that's the other thing voters are kind of a sucker for, when, especially in these close races, when there's not a clear-cut winner. Narrative matters, and I think that helps Fernando Mendoza of Indiana being number two in the country, being undefeated, particularly if they were to beat Ohio State. Boy, that's a compelling narrative for that quarterback. So, but I do think that helps Pavia as well. So, long story short, if they're 10-2, I think he's in New York, but I would be surprised if he wins.
So, Blake, it's been a wild calendar year of 2025 for Tennessee. You make the college football playoff last year. You get smoked by Ohio State. Your quarterback up and leaves in April. You go get Joey Aguilar. And while they're not going to make the college football playoff, I mean, 9-3 is still on the table for Tennessee. You are very familiar with Tennessee. You're very familiar with Vol Twitter, obviously. What do you make of where things currently stand with Heupel, his job security, and what that looks like over the next season here for Heupel? And I know that you made some waves in Vol Twitter last week as it related
to
Penn State. What do you make of kind of where he sits right now in that job?
Yeah, as I wrote, I mean, if I was Josh Heupel, I would think now is the perfect time to sort of pop your head out of the trench, see what else is out there. I mean, this is a red hot coaching market, and someone with his resume, I think, would be an incredible candidate at Penn State. And I think he would be a revelation inside the Big Ten. His offense would be, I think he'd be a hit at Penn State from day one if they could get him. You know, it's a question of what he wants to do. Does he want to continue forward at Tennessee, or does he want to, you know, look around, see what is out there? He's given no public indication anyway that he would ever leave Tennessee. But, you know, when you look at his, I think he's sort of at a fork in the road in his tenure. I agree with you, like 9-3 on the table. I think put up against realistic expectations, that was sort of the realistic expectations for the season, right? Go about 8-4, 9-3, and that's fine. But you still have on the table at the Swamp. I know Florida's in absolute disarray, but we also know Tennessee's history at the Swamp. It's a house of horrors for them. Tennessee has lost to bad Florida teams at the Swamp before. And then, my goodness, if he were to lose to Vanderbilt, even if he beats Florida, if he were to lose to Vanderbilt in the season finale, and that's how Vanderbilt gets in the playoff, that would be a tough way to enter the offseason for Josh Heupel. I've asked several people, you know, in East Tennessee and in Knoxville, what they would put, like, the temperature reading, not people in the administration, but just sort of people kind of around the program, follow Tennessee, live in Knoxville, what they'd put the temperature at for Josh Heupel. And I hear somewhere around like 5 or 6, you know, it's not scalding hot. It's also not Tony Vitello. They're ready to, declare him governor to make him stay in Tennessee, right? So, I mean, it's somewhere in the middle. Like, he doesn't have the approval rating that he would have had after the 2022 season when he was at an all-time high. His approval rating would have been like 99% after the 2022 season. The shine has come off a little bit, but I think by and large, most Tennessee fans still appreciate this guy's a really good coach. But I think the time to leave, if he were going to do it, is when the temperature reading is a 5 or 6. If you wait till it's 8, 9, or 10, you're cooked. You're not going to be able to leave and find another job at that point. You're waiting on your buyout check. And so if Heupel were to want to stay one step ahead of the posse, now is the time to do it. With this red hot coaching market, with the temperature, you know, maybe only being 4, 5, or 6 on his reading, and his resume still looks great, you know, being 1 year removed from being in the college football playoff. But, you know, the flip side of that is he's never won a playoff game, and next year he's going into year 6 into his tenure, and his early success raised the bar. And for programs like Tennessee, it's sort of a playoff or bust mentality at this point. Now, there is the caveat of Nico having left at the beginning of the season. And I think, you know, some fans give some credence to that and say, hey, that was a tough situation to be put in. But, I think these games against Florida and Vanderbilt are really important for Heupel. It doesn't mean going to the playoff. They're already out of that mix. But I think that how your season is remembered, how the off season begins, is shaped a lot now by those two games. If you can get to 9-3, you know, I think he's sitting in much better shape than going into the off season of, say, losing to Vanderbilt and everybody knowing that's how Vanderbilt got in the playoff. And I don't care how good Vanderbilt is, losing to Vanderbilt on your home field, that'd be a tough way for him to go into the offseason.
Okay. Two quick follow-ups on that. One, do you think if he's 8-4, 9-3, kind of the same type of year, you know, young quarterbacks, but miss out on the playoff, that he would be on a not fan hot seat, but actual hot seat with Danny White? Two, you've been a Vols beat writer before. Has Vol Twitter ever been more mad at you than they are from this column when you were beat writer?
Okay, so question one. No, there's a difference between fan angst and an administrative hot seat. I don't think Josh Heupel's not going to be on the hot seat this season. Could he be on the hot seat next season?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he has the same year next year.
Yeah, and next year, I think it's plausible. Tell me that they finish like 7-5 this year. They lose to Florida and Vanderbilt, and they go 7-5 next year. I absolutely think he's on a hot seat next year. But we don't know where this season's going to end, right? If he goes 9-3 this year, I think that decreases the possibility of him being on the administrative hot seat next year. But we've also seen how quickly fan angst can change things, right? With James Franklin, he went from not being on the hot seat to being fired in 2 weeks' time. For Brian Kelly went from not being on the hot seat to being fired in 2 weeks' time. Josh Heupel's not going to be on any type of administrative hot seat this year. Next season, we'll see how it goes. The schedule rolls over. They add the ninth conference game. We'll see what the record ends up as this year. Point being, you guys have seen just how quickly things can change. But yeah, I mean, Danny White wants Josh Heupel to keep succeeding. You know, there's every reason for Danny White to want Josh Heupel to thrive. So totally a difference between fan angst and hot seat. And Josh Heupel's nowhere near at this point the hot seat yet. But again, ask me again if they lose to Florida and Vanderbilt, and we'll see how next season goes. In terms of the reaction, no, this was not the pinnacle reaction of Tennessee, because the other thing is, as time has gone on, I spend less and less time on Twitter. I don't even have the app on my phone anymore. So
probably
I log
a life
in
lesson
on my,
for all of us.
Yeah, I log in when I'm on my desktop, and I'll put the app on my phone on Saturdays because I feel like I need it on game days. But other than that, I don't have it. But I think even taking a peek what's out there, it's not nearly as much overwhelming response as when I wrote the infamous Army column 4 years ago.
Which I forgot about that one.
I moved on within a few days of that. It is still living rent free, apparently, in the fan base of Vol Twitter and in the minds of some administrators, because I hear about that sometimes 4 years later, and it's like, you guys are still thinking about that 4 years from now. But what's interesting is feedback is always different from when you hear from people in formats other than social media, because I actually got some responses, quite a few responses in the inbox that were like, I was far too gracious to Josh Heupel. Hearing from some of those fans that say, turn up the heat on him. Don't try to find him another job. He's not doing his current job.
Fire him and send him out of the industry altogether, please.
Yeah, and I also heard some feedback of, my goodness, you make some good points. It would be great for Penn State. So it was sort of a mixed bag in the inbox. Vol Twitter, it was, we all know how that goes. And then there was Fox. The one thing that caught my attention was Fox News or Fox Sports Knoxville, a radio station that I'm a friend of the station. I go on a couple of shows there, but somebody who runs their social media account did some spectacular engagement farming.
I saw that
off my column without even linking my column, but just an epic engagement farming tweet. And so that helped whip Vol Twitter into a frenzy. So they kind of cheated, really, to get the response. But no, it was not. It was not an all-time high. The 2021 Army column, that was still pinnacle of all Twitter. There was a couple others
legendary
over the years as well, but I think 2021 was the peak, which was interesting because I was just coming off of being the hero of the fan base.
Yeah.
Because I was
all over the
end of the Pruitt era. That was like a brief window of being the Vol Twitter hero, but that was a fickle love.
Short-lived.
It eroded quickly. Yeah.
Short-lived. Blake, thanks for your time as always, sir. We appreciate so much you being with us, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks,
buddy. Blake Topmeyer, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. The Rex Rant coming up next. It'll be a quick one. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I don't care, Paul. I'm going to yell and you're going to listen to it.
It both entertains and disgusts me.
Snakes!
Snakes! Ah! Like, what? Good Lord, Paul. Zip your pants up for Vrabel.
The lower area is perfectly covered.
What does four fingers do?
What did the five fingers say to the face? What? Slap!
How about my rant is me slapping you? Sometimes it does need to be violence, okay?
You can put it on the board! Yes!
There's no faux outrage. You're outraging me. And mother farter, shut up.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joseph, floor's yours.
For fart's sake.
Every time. Heart drops. Woo! Every time. Woo! I'm on a roller coaster.
Farting A. So. Yeah. Don't have a lot of time here. Blake had a lot to say. I think Blake is feeling, maybe Blake's feeling.
He needed to vent a little bit, I think.
Yeah. All right. So, first of all, I think Blake explained it there. I still, like, I don't know, man. That's a really interesting thought. And this isn't what I was going to rant about, but now I'm thinking about this. It's like, would it work well at Penn State? Like, if Josh Heupel took his talents to State College, Pennsylvania, how would that work?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, the weather is, I guess, the only thing. Like, this, I don't think anybody really runs this offense in a cold weather area, right? Like, would that be a problem once you got into, I mean there's not that
a lot of running the football goes on in this offense.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting the numbers in your favor in the box. I mean, it's interesting. So, anyway, I guess I'm sort of on board. But real fast, I just want to say I'm not going to be a total homer about this, okay? I mean, I mean, right now I sent in my thing this week and I put Mendoza number one, but I put Pavia number two. I will say that, like, we'll see how things shake out. I'm totally out on saying, I'm sorry if Ohio State fans are listening. Like, I'm sorry, but like, I just can't go there with him. I'm sorry. He's good. They're incredible. I can't do it. I do want to throw a few things out. Vanderbilt is working hard. And, you know, Vanderbilt has, you know, they got Robbie Boren helping them out, which is a great move by Vanderbilt. And they're working hard to try to find ways to show, you know, this is what you should do if you got a Heisman candidate. So here's a couple quick things, okay? He ranks fourth in the FBS in passer efficiency. He's third in rushing. Accounts for 69% of their total offense. Fifth among Power Four players of total offense, one of three Power Four players to lead their team in passing and rushing yards, and you know, this is an offense that leads the FBS in points per drive, 3.75. He's responsible for 72 explosive plays. That's run plays at 12 plus and passes 16 plus per True Media. That's second in FBS. And again, they're 11th in scoring. They have 38.3 points a game against a schedule that has five teams in the top 35 in scoring defense. There's just a few other things there. You know, they're Vanderbilt's working. Again, he's got to keep doing it. He's probably got to have ridiculous numbers. And frankly, I think Blake's right. It's like, you know, those quarterbacks probably have to stink on the championship weekend. But it's also like, if you're a voter, you know, I think the story does matter, and I think it should matter. I mean, I think the big picture view beyond just like, this is a better prospect, this person had a better yards per attempt, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I'm sorry, but all those guys, including the guy at Indiana, have more around them, a lot more around them. So I think Diego Pavia should still be in this thing.
Good news for him is half the Heisman voters of the thousands that there are send in their votes and their ballots before conference championship.
That is no longer a thing.
Does it not?
That is okay. No longer allowed.
Well, Diego, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Your chance is dwindling.
Yeah, that's true. It actually probably could help him, right? If it's like before, just like, okay.
All these people have voted for some reason.
Yeah, he beat Tennessee. Let me vote for him. But no, they are now, which is a good thing, they are now not accepting, I think, until like the championship games end.
That's probably, probably a good idea.
How it always should have been.
Yeah, probably. I should have done that a long time ago.
Anyway, Pavia for Heisman, WHMR. Thank you.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Charles Robinson with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
W-E-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.